Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everyone to Party Friday. It's Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up on a beautiful day. Do we want to start off with our toasts?
That's right.
Some
derelict named Leo and Mark and other people talked us into doing, we got Randy Corcoran, grassroots activist. He's everything, standing by at CPAC. But Randy, this is one thing you can't do on radio. Our guy said, hey, it's Party Friday. Let's have a cocktail of the week. So everybody out there listening, we're going to do this again at the second, and we'll do it again at the end of the show. But this week's cocktail was the Vespers Martini, the James Bond Martini. I don't have lemon, but here we go. Everybody raise your glass. Happy Party Friday. All right, we'll see you all. I'm gonna take a little sip. We can only have a few little sips. Randy is wait, unmute yourself. Go ahead and unmute yourself, Randy. You're on videotaping this
full glass.
There we go.
Well, how's everything going there, Randy?
It's really, really exciting. Somebody asked me a few minutes ago if I had to describe the takeaway so far at CPAC, what I would say in two words, and I said party unity. The swamp has no idea what's coming.
Ah, hooray. Well, you know, one thing, I've covered things like that when I was a reporter, and inevitably, we always liked it when George Brockler would speak because he was a really good speaker at things, right? And you knew you would get some sound bites. But sometimes at these things, you don't have anything. There's one guy who's a good speaker. But I noticed in looking at the speech, it was person after person after person.
I mean, I thought Ron DeSantis was great. I thought Josh Hawley was
Cotton,
great.
I mean, who was your favorite, or what are some of the highlights of the speeches?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, every time you'd think that's the hit of the day, then someone would come on and just advance the conversation that much further. In the last hour or so, we had Donald Trump Jr., followed by James Veritas, followed by Dan Bongino. If it's noisy in the background, it's because several of them are just a booth or so over. And of course, I'm here all alone. Everybody's
over there. We'll let you go. You can get to the party. Well, yeah, one thing I noticed is there is not an inch of backing down. They are going after the cancel culture. They are reminding us that we have to stay strong. I mean, is that what you've been hearing too?
Without a doubt. And, you know, I was on with Peter Boyles this morning, and he talks about this division. And he talks about a division in the Republican Party. I just don't see it. This is a sorting. This is a fleshing out of the old guard, you know, four-decade-long establishment Republicans who are at the end of their power, and they know it.
Right, right.
Well, the one thing, I don't think there is a civil war. It's always people on the left that say there's a civil war somehow. But in Colorado, it really hasn't really been totally sorted out. You have Friends for the Future, Lois Landgraf, that whole group of Chinese Communist Party members. and we've got, you know, it is going to be a continued fight. And we had David Flaherty. We filled in for Karen, and he was
from
on
Magellan Strategies.
Magellan Strategies, and he was great. Now I love David, but you know, he said no, only a moderate, just
you have
barely
to abandon Trump.
You have to be pro. You have to be pro New Green Deal. You got to be all these things to be electable in Colorado.
I give you two names for what's in store for Colorado. You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Randy Corcoran, Chuck Bonniewell.
There you go. Well, and actually, there is more truth to that than people may realize.
I
mean, you guys are grassroots people who have been more and more getting elected into positions by other grassroots people who are suddenly showing up at the meeting. We had a meeting at our house yesterday, Randy. You should have been there because we used your name in vain all the time. Six people. We kept saying, Randy Corcoran. We can trust Randy Corcoran. I mean, these are people who are like, we need to do something. We need to do
and
it now.
All bonus members and other, you know, ones. And so it's,
you know, I remember years ago explaining people, if you're a Republican activist and you get elected as a bonus member, you will never, your vote will never mean more than at that particular moment, because right. you will elect leadership that will then impact, you know, candidates and primaries and how elections are handled. And people just realize how critical it is to grab these roles right now. It's the country trying to do that right now.
Right.
Have you had any further thoughts on the chair race in Colorado?
Well, because I'm Republican National Committee man, I think I'm going to stay out of endorsing anybody. You and I, Chuck, will have to work with whoever the next chair is.
Sure.
I like the fact that we have a pretty decent selection of candidates. You know, you could make positive arguments for three of the four.
That's right. And the fourth is just a lefty beyond belief.
On the CPEC thing, because I want to talk a little bit about this. Randy, what's the mood? I mean, you were talking about unity because there are like hundreds of people there, right? It's not just the speakers and the speeches are the same. And you let us know when you got to go. I don't know. I can see.
No, I'm okay on time, but okay. I don't want to take the whole show. So you
look. No. Okay, but what about the people who are there, the people like you, the other people, just the people there in attendance? What's the general sense there?
You know, no one's given up. The vast majority of people understand that in order to win, as the Democrats did, they had to cheat, and that our most prime to the next 2 years, and then especially the next 4 years, is to focus on those state legislatures where you've got the power to do so, Colorado probably tough, and get this voting situation sorted out, because we'll never win if they're allowed to cheat at the grand scale that they were last time. But people understand what Donald Trump accomplished, and being here, they see and understand that movement, that energy has done nothing but grow more resolved as a result of this beating that we've just been through in November. So I don't feel any sense of disheartenment or anything else. And the thing I've noticed that's really interesting is Fox News has a tiny little corner studio where they'll put a Matt Gaetz or some big star for a hit. But it's Fox Nation, the online, that has the whole massive studio. There's a lot more online and podcast and smaller radio shows here than there were last year. And it may in part be due to the virus, but I think there's also a shift in where people are getting their information.
Yeah. Well, and we can drink on our podcast too, which is just another reason.
Speaking of Colorado, I mean, our only chance is if we're going to make any changes is through a referendum on the ballot for statewide vote. And maybe ballot harvesting could poll well. And if you got rid of ballot harvesting, you'd take a big step into having a fair election in Colorado.
Yeah, ballot harvesting, voter ID, and effectively cleaning the voter rolls would be a huge, huge step, and something that most people who aren't just left ideologues would agree with.
Yeah. Right. What about, you know, I wanted to ask you this, are there any rumors or talk or thoughts in terms of you guys or the Trump people, whoever they're going to end up being, launching their own media platforms, social media platforms? I mean, I think the cancel culture is going to not go away and possibly get even worse. I mean, you've got Congress now writing to cable companies saying, get rid of conservative TV shows. You kind of think, oh yeah, that would never happen, but you never know. Look what they did to Parler. But
wow.
I mean, are you hearing anything, or is there any talk of that there?
Nothing of substance. You know, people are really waiting for Donald Trump's speech on Sunday to just see how much detail we're going to get about how he sees things moving forward. Of course, he's got the resources, the connections, and the platform to make all that happen.
Right.
Right. What time is
in our own back?
Yep. What's your
in our own backyard in Colorado? Am I dropping out on you some?
You're
is that
a little
the problem?
Yeah, that's okay. Keep
that's
going
right.
though.
Okay.
Donald Trump is at 1:40, 1:45 on Sunday, Denver time. And but as far as a platform goes, we also have people in Colorado that are working on social media and server and, you know, a infrastructure where Amazon and others could not just flip the switch on someone like Parler.
Yeah, all right. Well, good. And that's people fantastic. In Colorado,
yeah.
Right? Okay. And that would be not just for Colorado, but nationally also, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, that, okay. Cause
that's, well, how does it all work with somebody like Bob Beaupre, who is very definitely on the moderate side, who actually went after conservative ones with a secret money. How does that work out with him, the vice chair of CPAC?
He's the treasurer, I believe.
Okay.
That's how he introduced himself to me when he very warmly shook my hand.
There you go.
And he did indicate he was aware that I was the new Republican National Committee man.
All right.
And it was very cordial, very friendly, but it would be an interesting question to find out, you know, just what the thought process is and how certain people get chosen and elected to these positions. Because, you know, I think Bob Beaupre is a conservative individual with his, you know, social conservative and probably likes to think of himself as a fiscal conservative. And maybe in his personal life he is. But voting records and campaign style was very traditional, you know, George Bushian.
Yeah.
And it's an odd fit for CPAC, yet here we are in this CPAC with this lineup and with him as treasurer. So right. Who knows?
Well,
it could be he's out of the swamp and he gets to be more Beaupre now. I don't know.
Well, and you saw, I mean, Mitch McConnell suddenly likes Donald Trump, says he would vote for him if he were the nominee. Nikki Haley wants to make up. Yeah. Mike Pence, I'm assuming, says he's besties with Trump again, even though I'm assuming he didn't.
I think people have announced for themselves, at least those people you've mentioned. And I think the Trumpian world has made their judgment on Liz Cheney and Nikki Haley and Mike Pence. And I don't think that's going to change.
But I mean, that what I was getting at, though, is clearly they've read the writing on the wall. They can see which way the wind is blowing.
Well,
right?
They were pretty blind before about the wall.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that they change their mind. When you have people, I heard you on Peter Boyle's 710 KNUS talk show host here in Denver, you know, where he says, oh, he thinks Trump is going to be gone. And I was kind of like, well, I mean, what? I mean, I like Peter, but it's like, on what plan? Why? You know, I mean, maybe he could try to take Tiger Woods' place if that doesn't work out for Tiger Woods or something, but I doubt it.
But he also said that Liz Cheney would be the vice presidential pick. I mean, you've got to straighten out your your co-host there, Andy.
Well, you know, he has said he wants to start having me come in studio for an hour or two.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Yeah.
And that actually happens, we'll elevate it a little bit. There's not a lot you can do in 10 or 15 minutes, but
right, right.
But is there anybody? Go ahead.
It's just really, you noted the people who aren't here. Last year, Nikki Haley, you couldn't wait long enough in line to get up to shake her hand.
Right.
You know, there was a coronation going on, potentially the first Republican female president. You know, and she's not even here. McConnell's not here. Of course, Cheney's not here. You can decide a lot about the direction of the party by the people who aren't here.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and again, getting back to just the regular people walking around, it does seem to me that there is some truth to the fact, like you said, you know, I mean, Bob Beaupre, we need Bob Beaupre to vote for the candidate. We need Chuck and Randy and Julie to vote for the candidate. Do you get the sense there that people are accepting that, as I keep saying, it wasn't Trump didn't create the movement. The movement created Trump, basically. And I think that that's clear. And I hope that the people wandering around there, whether they like Trump or didn't like Trump, whether they think he should tweet or didn't think he should tweet, what they really care about is like us, right? The people.
That's such a great point, Julie. And it's, you know, I was the anti-Trump, pro-Ted Cruz national delegate who could never see how it could be possible that Donald Trump would be the kind of person that we were looking for. I voted for him to make sure, to do my part, to make sure Hillary Clinton didn't become the president. And then his action, as soon as from his very first, you know, his inauguration speech, and then his first address to the UN, man, I was on board with this guy. So you're right. He stepped into an environment that has been hoping, praying for some personality or not to come along for well over a decade. And people get it. And that's why the media is working so hard to try and scrub us and flip the mindset of the average low information voter. I just don't think it's going to work, because everybody's feeling the pain at the gas pump and seeing the misery in Texas. And we just dropped bombs in the Middle East again. I mean, it's just one thing after another. We're only 2 months into this regime.
Yeah. And no State of the Union speech planned, yeah, right? I was saying earlier, because he could care less about our state. The only thing that matters is the swamp state.
My fear is that after Goldwater won in 64, the swamp came back and had Nixon. After the grassroots got Reagan in, all of a sudden you have the Bushes. And so they're always going to be back there waiting.
Swamping around,
waiting to kind of for a weakness where they can go, oh, yeah, we're at. Yeah. Yeah, Liz Cheney.
It's a legitimate concern, Chuck, but I think we are a much more sophisticated, connected, organized, tenacious bunch with 24-hour-a-day news and instant ability to connect with each other and shake and chuck and jive, so to speak.
I'm a third of that.
And so I think we're in a different period than we were then. Plus, the left was never more dangerous than it is today.
I agree with that totally.
What's on tap for tomorrow? Do you know, or?
We have to look.
Okay, no, that's fine. Well, it seems like, this is the first day. It seems like they've got jam-packed stuff, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's nonstop. But one thing that's interesting about tomorrow is today there were three different segments about voter fraud, the elections, all of those facets and pieces of what's gone on. And tomorrow they don't do any of that. They do four more of them on Sunday before the final speech with Donald Trump. Looks like I don't have my agenda up, so I can't tell you who the guests are tomorrow.
Okay. What about your show tomorrow? You're on 9 to noon. I'm assuming you're on 9 to noon.
Yeah, I should be broadcasting right here, 9 to noon Denver time, in Cubicle 9. There are a bunch of folks that are supposed to drop by. I've decided not to really hard schedule anybody. I'm just telling people I'm interested in where I'm at, and if people are dropping by and we can grab them, we will. If not, I'll have an awful lot of fun just explaining to people what's going on here, the dynamic, why I'm more energized and more optimistic than I have been since the election, and hopefully take a whole lot of calls like usual.
That'd be great. Well, thanks for taking some time out and talking with us. We appreciate it. And we'll turn in on tomorrow.
All right, Randy. Thank you, sir. Have fun.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Randy Corcoran there, Colorado's Republican National Committee member. I think he's absolutely right, Chuck. The fact that you and Randy, have been getting elected in grassroots people, that is, among other things, there are grassroots people getting more and more active, realizing that if you don't, you get swamped over.
We need even more.
Okay, so we can open it up now for phones here, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. For folks who are there on Zoom, if you want to ever join on Zoom, you can do it a couple of ways. You can go to the bbsradio.com site. The Zoom number is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. One of the things...
And if you want to call in or just do it on the chat, tell how you like your Vesper Martini.
That's right. If you're into that. Let me clarify now that we did not have the lemon. So as we're going to try to do the cocktail thing on Party Friday, feel free to have your own cocktail or mocktail or variation. Mm-hmm. We'll just try to expand awareness by putting some of the other things in there. One of the things though, Chuck, I noticed just from listening to some of the speeches and things, and you were the one who pointed out Ron DeSantis, is there is no, like Liz Cheney, oh, we have to make sure they know we're not the party of white supremacists. What a bunch of nonsense. It's like we were saying earlier, Tucker Carlson said, you don't see the Democrats
parroting the slanders, parroting the slanders against their own people and party. I mean, the Democrats do not kind of go, we are not the
party of the pedophiles. Right. No, they just ignore it and they don't report it, which they don't say, no, Andrew Cuomo is not the granny killing governor. They just don't address that at all. It's just, it's insanity that Liz Cheney is suggesting we do. And I want to go over something too, because I Tucker Carlson did the research, but I researched to find the research. Of the 199 people were arrested on for the January 6th stuff at the Capitol. Of those, Tucker Carlson said they were able to identify, and
he didn't say why.
Decide. My
they
guess is
the Klan.
Well, my guess
no
is social media. But of that, even they found only 5 people could even remotely be considered white supremacists. Now we know there are numerous people who have been identified as Antifa and Black Lives Matter people.
Right.
And, you know, so for Liz Cheney and anyone to be floating the idea, you guys don't buy into that. It's their, it's the narrative. It's a psyop. They're trying to get us to say, oh, we're not white supremacists, and they just put it out there, white supremacy. There were no white supremacists there. You know, that's like the Southern Poverty Law Center when they do their hate groups, right? They just make it up.
200.
You look
in the Lakewood area.
Yeah, you look, you click on the little thing, they have little red dots. So it looks very scary. Like, oh
yeah,
my God, there.
Oh my God, it's a Southern dots. Conservative Southern Baptist Church.
Right.
Oh, clearly.
And then
hate
you look,
group.
And
clearly
it's something like Focus on the Family.
Oh, that's
right. Right.
Hate
either
group.
That or it's a group that doesn't even exist. You Google them, you try to look in the website. So, I mean, Southern Poverty Law Center has been sued from, I mean, they consider Tom Tancredo a hate group. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So don't buy into that. And Liz Cheney, she's an idiot. Don't buy into people saying, oh, we need to explain that we're not, because no one thinks we are except the left. We're not going to convince them. And they think all kinds of things that aren't true. But it was glad to see the Republicans, though, not caving in, not being wishy-washy, instead going just the opposite, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's clear that it's Trump's party, and it's Trump's party because Trump stood up for things that the Americans believed in, like secure borders, not getting in every war in the world, trade agreements that do well for us, less regulation, less taxes. I mean, and what does the McConnell wing of the Republican Party stand for? I've never been sure of that. I know less taxes.
It stands for McConnell.
For big corporations, and everybody else can be screwed.
Right.
So, you know, it's amazing.
But I wanted to play Thomas, if we could. We took a piece of a soundbite from Ron DeSantis' speech. So, Thomas, if we could play the DeSantis sound, please.
Win against cancel culture. Rush showed that fighting the left requires strength, and that conservatism devoid of backbone is doomed to fail. So at this moment in our history, and I think Rush showed us this, but particularly now, standing for the right things comes at a cost. You will be attacked, you will be smeared, and you may even be canceled by the major organs of the political left. Now, anyone can spout conservative rhetoric. We can sit around and have academic debates about conservative policy. And I'm not saying you don't do any of that. But the question is, when the Clegg lights get hot, when the left comes after you, will you stay strong or will you fold?
Well, I can say we can speak directly to that.
Right,
because
we got
the entire huge nationwide thing to come against us. It wasn't because of my lame joke about how boring the impeachment was. It's because we were effective and we were grassroots, and therefore they had to destroy us. And they didn't destroy us, and they made us stronger. 710 KNUS may do the foldo job, and that's up to them. It's their station. They can fold anytime they want to. But we didn't fold, and that's why we're here now.
That's right. Hey, we got Barney. Speaking of somebody who doesn't fold,
yeah.
We got Barney online too. Hey, Barney, thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. I've been listening to you guys. Last night I had to listen to your show with Dick Wadhams late, but I've just kind of been kind of screwed up. But by the way, Julie, I can't help you with the drink. You might find this hard to believe, but when I drank and got drunk, I was a little bit obnoxious and didn't usually have a happy ending.
I can't believe that.
I kind of don't drink anymore. It's hard to believe. I know. I the last I drank was about 20 years ago on the beach in North Carolina with Sissy Beer.
Wow.
Good way to go out.
So, well, it is a good way to go out.
We have a Rev 730 basketball game, so we're not drinking very much at all either. It's always bad form, I feel. Okay.
For the parents to show up drunk for the first time.
You go to the basketball game and hey, Chuck and Julie, wasn't that you guys all shit or hammered on your show? And anyway,
what are you there? Hey, Barney. They censored you.
Hang on. Hold on. I went through a dip. Sorry. So, you know, you heard this crap, all these people talking about Rush. So, I know there are a lot of people, maybe there are people in your audience that like Paul Harvey, but Paul Harvey was a mean little man, and he had nasty things to say to Rush Limbaugh. Now, I guess when Limbaugh got inducted into the Hall of Fame, there was a woman badmouth him and he stuck up for him. But, and then there's guys like Hank, who's a stupid guy from Private Ryan. God, I can't think of his name.
Oh, Tom Hanks.
He had a couple of nasty, rude things that, you know what? It's not so much these people. Well, never mind all that. There's just a lot of mean, nasty people out there, and we don't really care.
Hit another dip.
You're hitting a dip. Barney. Hey, Barney, if you can hear, call back, okay? You're breaking up there. You're cutting out here. Oh, hey, Randy Corcoran just typed. Here's a big... Hey, Randy, Barney, call back if you can, okay? Your line is cutting in and out.
Okay.
And Randy just touched us, so thank you, Randy. Big names tomorrow. Christy, Noam, Lauren... Yay, Lauren Boebert, Andy Biggs, Dana Loesch, Vernon Jones, Mike Pompeo, Burgess Owen, Jack Brewer, Devin Nunez, and more. So that should be, I mean, you know, they're pulling it all out. There's no pussyfooting around things. Maybe we need to tone it down or anything like that. Here's another thing Ben is putting out too. We saw this just before we came on the show. Remember how Bill Barr told us that they were going to release the results of the special investigation into how the FBI screwed the president? So we would all know they were going to do it by the election. Well, they're not by the election, but then don't worry. Barr was quitting, but Durham was going to stay on. Well, Durham is resigned.
Well, he hasn't resigned as special counsel. He's resigned as his post as U.S. attorney.
Yeah, so they're going to just take his key card away, right?
Card away.
So, I mean, but here's the thing. Is anybody holding their breath anymore? No. I mean, the information continues to come out and it's even worse. One thing I wanted to talk about, and then one of the other things I want to get into is, this is from Leo. I sent an email link to the site for today's poll, www.beyondangry.com. Hey, Leo, is this the website that you guys set up? To be honest, I'm not sure what the poll is. So Lee, if you could give us a little more explanation from that, about what that is. But one of the things I thought was interesting was Joe Biden bombs Iranian trained forces in Syria. And I want to go over this. So when Donald Trump is president, he's pulling troops out of places. Meanwhile, gets rid of ISIS.
Cuts off all the funding for Iran. Cuts off
the economic sanctions. It's out of the Iran
sanctions.
Deal.
Yeah.
Right. Sanctions them. In the meantime,
They're attacking us. So Biden is bombing them while trying to give them, you know, get rid of the sanctions.
To get a new treaty. I mean, it's like, why? I'm not a diplomat, but it seems to me if you're trying to negotiate a treaty with somebody, but you're having to bomb them, that's not a good start. And they're doing things to cause you to want to bomb them. I'm saying
brilliant.
Maybe we should
brilliant.
Go. Yeah. Brilliant strategy. Brilliant. Maybe we should go back to not having a treaty with Iran. I know not having forces so much in Syria so they can bomb them in the first place. Liz Cheney, I'm sure, is happy, but it's just like
killing for the Blood Queen.
What kind of foreign policy is that? And why did he feel like he had to do that? One of the other topics I wanted to move on today, because I think we've talked a lot about elections and things going on there. We've talked about, you know, the need for Donald Trump, and Randy Corcoran did a great job explaining to us, you know, the spirit and the unity and the excitement going on.
Well, the unity there because the non-unity people like Liz Cheney are not there. That's why the unity.
Exactly. But there were some other things that the Biden people are doing, the Biden administration. And I'm not really sure who's in charge of it, very progressive in this. You know, we've already talked about the HR1, where they basically want to have massive voter fraud legitimized.
They want to get Colorado's voting system and making it national.
Right.
Is really what they want.
But one of the other acts that's getting a lot of talk right now, and again, it's typical Democrat Equality Act. Well, it's equal as long as you're not a woman, basically. If you're a woman, it sends us back to the Stone Age. So this Equality Act, among the many things it would do, essentially the way I understand it. Hey, somebody, essentially the way I understand it.
All right, so here's what we're going to do.
Oh, hey, Randy. Randy, if you're on, your mic is still on. Randy, okay, there we go. One of the things it would do, essentially, among the many things, is essentially it's not an act that's going to protect vulnerable people. It's not an act that's going to, you know, help prevent discrimination against people who are transgender. What it does is it becomes a sword for the left and their very progressive agenda to persecute and prosecute anyone who does not subscribe to their bizarre, very extreme ideology. Basically, it would take away, as I understand it, Chuck, and you're the lawyer, but the religious protection, freedom of religion protection, that at least Jack Phillips was able to argue in the Masterpiece Cake Shop. It would essentially say that...
Well, it would try to. What it does, it changed the Civil Rights Act in 1964 to include transgenderism.
But it's more than that, though, because it gets specific in things. It specifically says that women are not allowed privacy in locker rooms or bathrooms.
Well,
so if a person, if a man or a boy... So a teenage boy just self-identifies. They don't. All they have to do is say, "I self-identify." They have to be allowed access to the women's locker room and the women's bathroom. Now, the people who are, the extremists would argue, "Oh, by arguing against that, Julie, you know, you're being cruel and rude and horrible to people who are transgender because they would never do anything bad." Maybe they wouldn't, but you just tell me. How often do you think? I mean, look at the Andrew Cuomo, for instance. What do he want? We want him to suddenly Hunter Biden self-identifying as a woman and having access to your teenage daughter's locker room. I mean, for a second, you can't tell me that wouldn't happen. Let's just look at sports right now. The other thing it does is it allows people who are biologically male to go ahead and participate in women's sports. All they have to do, they don't have to be taking any kind of hormones. They don't have to be doing anything. Just have to simply self-identify. I mean, who wouldn't want to go? I mean, you're having a hard time making it on the PGA Tour. Just go ahead and say, "Hey, I self-identify as a woman," and now you can be in the LPGA Tour.
Cool.
I mean, it sets all.
I still got a chance.
You still have a chance. Chuck is going to be there. The other thing it does too is it makes not having taxpayer dollars fund abortion discrimination. So it opens the door for Planned Parenthood. I mean, there are so many things that this does.
Sounds excellent.
But the biggest thing I think it does is it takes a hammer on parental rights. One of the things that
get rid of that nuclear family.
Well,
anyway.
Exactly. One of the things that it would do is it would give the state, it would give the government more control over whether their child wants to have transgender hormones, surgery, which is, as Ron Paul said, it's genital mutilation. Call it what it is, right?
Just, you know, standard. That's great. Three-year-olds are all for that.
Well, and as Rand Paul pointed out in the testimony in London, at one of the centers, the children are there between 3 and 10. So if you had some 3-year-old, or let's just even say you had parents disagreeing.
10% of the people are from 3 to 12 years old, or 3 to 10. It's 10%.
Okay, yes. But I mean, my point is, though, there are kids there. So you could get, you could get a very progressive ideology driven doctor who says the 3-year-old told me that he doesn't want to be a boy anymore. Therefore, we're going to go ahead and remove his genitalia. We're going to surgically change him. We're going to chemically change him. We're going to not have him go through puberty. And then we're going to hope to gosh that by the time he hits 14, that he hasn't changed
his
mind.
He'll be in good shape.
And
mentally,
so
he'll be in excellent shape.
Rand Paul was, the Biden nominee for the assistant secretary of health is Dr. Rachel Levine, who is a transgender person herself, former health secretary for Pennsylvania, who, by the way, apparently had some nursing home issues of her own. But this is a real.
Well, she took her mother out of the nursing home.
Well, and then
she didn't
put everybody
want her
else
in there.
In,
she knew. She knew what they were doing to him.
But if we could play, this is Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, questioning Dr. Levine during the hearing. So if we could play Rand Paul number one bite, please.
Is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we have believed that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field.
I feel reassured now. I mean, she wouldn't answer the question. So ask yourself, why wouldn't they ask the question? Why would they not want parents involved? I can see if somebody is 18 and they want to do something like that and the parents disagree, that's fine. I can even see a situation where maybe the minor child vehemently feels this and there are avenues, legal avenues that they could pursue. Okay, that's fine. But to automatically assume that the parents are not going to have the rights, that the doctors and the government is going to have the right to override the parents. I mean, we've talked about this before, Chuck, but part of their thing is they need to destroy fathers. They've been working on that for a while now, right? Toxic masculinity. Now they want to destroy the family. They're destroying women. If you're a mother and you're, say, your daughter is on the lacrosse team and you've got a teenage boy who says, well, I self-identify as a girl, so I'm going to go in the locker room now. You can be sued, persecuted, and prosecuted for complaining about that, asking your daughter. I mean, they're out to attack the family, I think.
But you have to understand, Julia, as Republicans, we got to do better with our messaging.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats' message is so compelling. It is just so wonderful that we have to agree with him that climate change is a good thing, and where it's a bad thing, that we must do whatever we can to prevent it. It's just amazing to me that people kind of, it's a message, Republicans. The Democrats' message is the most horrific thing I've ever heard. And it's getting worse.
Well, but here's
every
the
day.
Thing. And that's why, keep in mind, that's why they have to cancel us, right? That's why they have to prevent you from saying what the Equality Act would really do. That's why they have to prevent you from saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe there are some questions about the election. They have to prevent you from saying, I'm sorry, but did that renewable energy thing work all that well in Texas? You can't say that. You can't say that vaccines don't work. You can't say on social media. They have to do that because their messaging is so bad. But I think it's important to keep getting that message out. And I think, again, they want to destroy the family. That's been their goal forever. That's why they don't care about the minor immigrant children coming in, the kids coming across the border illegally. Why deal with those parents? You've already solved half of that problem, right? Just
but
let
really,
them in the
we've
country.
We've got to appeal to the unaffiliated who apparently love transgender agendas and are for it. And they love the climate change con. And so we have to be more for it. If we're ever going to get elected and come back to power, to do what?
Well, here's the thing. Soccer moms and everybody needs to continue to stand up. They need to say, hey, look, we fought hard. I mean, I remember in my high school, we were the first, I think I was a sophomore, we were the first class to actually have girls' sports. And we had to kind of fight for it. Not very hard, but we had to go in and say, hey, you know, we want to have girls' sports. And they were like, oh, okay. And they convinced our Spanish teacher to be our track coach. But we had to fight for that, right? And then by the time, you know, my younger sister was there, it was just a routine thing. By the time Jenny, my daughter, went to school, it was routine.
Well, now it'll be routine that'll go back to the boys.
I mean, now they say, okay, so if you're a boy and you can't win on your track team, you can just get a scholarship or to compete. Look at the skiing, any of the things that women do. But all of a sudden, now, if you say that, then you're it's hate speech to say that kind of thing. And it's just ridiculous. It's not hate speech. There's nothing wrong. There are plenty of bathrooms around, right? And to think that you're not going to have, and I'm sorry, no offense to men, but to think that you're not going to have some men who would take advantage of that as an excuse.
If you know about our today's school teachers, some of the female school teachers will be hunting in the boys' room.
In the boys, well, yeah, exactly. And I guess here's my concern about it too. What do you do if somebody says, if it's an adult male, adult man or woman who says, I self-identify as a 6-year-old, right? So what happens there? All of a sudden, is that pedophilia? I mean, it's just ridiculous, this road we're going down, but they're taking us down this road on purpose. This isn't some well-meaning, but, you know, not really paying attention
Democrats
to the quantum.
Care, Julie.
No, they don't care. They don't care. They want to get rid of the family. They want to get rid of God. They want to get rid of any of the things.
That's the one you belong to.
Not anymore. They want to get.
It's the one that you, how long ago were you becoming
it's
Republican?
It's been like 12 years now.
Well,
I know it's been since Chuck forced me. No, I guess what I'm saying here is we have to remember that there is a strategy there. And so we cannot just let it go. And we can't say who in their right mind would vote for that. Who in their right mind would think it's coming up? Who in their right mind would think that they were actually passing a bill and writing letters to cable companies saying, don't carry Republican conservative TV programs or TV networks. And if you're the cable company and the Democrats are in power, I mean, how long do you think before that starts to happen? So I'm just saying, it's in, you know, if you're a school, what do you do about that? And that's how they kind of guide us, like with COVID, right? That's, they started small, just the 14 days, stop the spread, right? You know, flatten the curve. A year later, Jared Polis still has emergency powers. Restaurants are still closed. The ones that are still in business, we're still wearing the stupid masks, and half the kids in the state still aren't back in school. So they just say, well, you know, just as reasonable. We don't want to discriminate. And then all of a sudden, we don't want, you know, the kids should have somebody to advocate for them. And then pretty soon you're the parent and you're saying, wait, my three-year-old self-identifies as a mermaid. And you know, we're not going to turn her into a mermaid. So it's just one of those things. You got to be careful, because they're not going to stop. They want to destroy the family, I believe, and destroy God, so that all we have to rely on is the government.
I think that's right.
What are you
trying to look at new messages?
Okay. There you go.
There we go.
Can identify as an older person to receive. You know, exactly. I was joking about that too. I was saying, I'm going to go to the bank or Nordstrom or someplace. I don't know why Nordstrom, go to Saks and say, I self-identify as a multimillionaire. And so here's my credit card. If you don't take my credit card, then you're discriminating against me. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Where does it stop? Oh, Mark wants to drink. He's ready to drink after the discussion. Leo is like, thank you, Leo. You're taking over. So the drink of the day was the Vesper Martini, which is a James Bond martini, which is kind of complicated. We didn't have lemon peels, but we'll take a quick break to say, everybody, raise your toast, cocktail, mocktail, glass of water, coffee. Mm-hmm. And here you go. Here, cheers to that. Do you want to go ahead and respond to Dick Wadhams? Dick Wadhams, people who watch the show Wednesday, filibustered us.
Oh, it's okay. He went on a rant, which was fun.
Would you want to respond to it, I guess?
Well, I want to hear it. You'd have to hear it to respond to it.
Oh, okay. Do we have it? No, we don't. What do you want to go to then?
Let's see. What can we go? What do the people want to go to?
Friday. We can do that. 888-627-6008 is the number. 888-627-6008. You know, one of the things we were talking about, we filled in for Karen Cataline today on her show, Spouting Off, which was on. So take a listen to that. That's on BBS Radio. You can get them too. And she's on noon to one on Fridays. But we had David Flaherty on from Magellan Strategies. And they did, I thought it was a pretty interesting poll. They talked to people about their, their feelings on COVID. And he was saying they asked him in general, first, what are their big concerns? And it was either one of two things. It was either jobs and the economy first, and then the health issue second, or the flip-flop of that. And not unsurprisingly, Republicans were much more concerned about getting the economy reopened. The Republicans are much more concerned about, you know, not having to get a vaccine. The Democrats were way more, which is my thing. It's like, these Democrats need to be educated. They were way more concerned about getting the vaccine, and they were way more concerned about COVID and then opening up. And it's an interesting thing. I mean, when you talk to people, and I talk to some of my Democrat friends, there are people out there, who really believe that we're all on the verge of dying any moment now. I mean, I've got friends and family members who have, for all practical purposes, not left their home in a year, because they don't want to get COVID-19. Now, they don't see, because the mainstream media or the corporate media, they don't talk about the fact that we pretty much, even given everything that say is true, we pretty much reach herd immunity, basically. And, well, and certainly April, will have by will, April. Yeah. Well, that's a month away, right? The Magellan Strategies survey found that, how did he put it? The majority of Republicans who had not yet received the vaccine did not intend to receive the vaccine for a variety of reasons. Some of them herd immunity, some of them worried about it hadn't been tested enough, some of them they just didn't think it. But the Democrats, almost all of them, it was sort of a flip-flop. And it is interesting to me how you see Democrats still believe that the coronavirus is very much a threat, and that we, you know, and we see it sometimes too in the newspaper, right? You write something, people like, you shouldn't be going to restaurants. Restaurants shouldn't be open. People shouldn't be going to restaurants. And on the other hand, you have people, Republicans saying, open the economy up. None of this was worth, as bad as, you know, coronavirus has been for some people, it certainly wasn't worth destroying the economy and keeping our kids out of school.
Well, it is amazing. Also, other things that David Flaherty indicated, which I hadn't thought about exactly before, but it's a really good point. He said the unaffiliateds, who are a lot of people who just got registered because they went to get their license and they were signed up, for the first time in 2018 and in 2020, turned out in enormous numbers. Why is that?
Yeah.
Why was this enormous interest of people who don't care much about politics, don't care much about much anything, at least on the political scale, all of a sudden turned out in huge numbers? Well, I can tell you what David and people similar to that indicated, they all hate Trump.
They hate Trump
so much.
Everybody was so motivated.
So much that they all turned out in masses. And I know that how they did it in 2018, they're just mass ballot harvesting. How they pulled it off in 2020, I'm not sure.
I think a variety of means, probably.
But it turns out, David didn't know that the number of increase in voting, its increase is exactly the same as the number of people who voted
for Joe Biden.
Joe Biden that didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. And so it's an amazing process. But we can be assured. We can be assured that we don't have to. It's a safe, secure, wonderful
system.
Well,
they play games. They play word games, right? What they do, they play word games. When they'll say, well, the Dominion voting things. And, you know, anytime they want to throw it all right back at you because they think that sounds the craziest. They'll acknowledge those people that, yeah, ballot harvesting is an issue. They'll acknowledge that maybe there were some people who didn't who maybe weren't registered to vote, who did vote. They acknowledge that they didn't verify signatures. They'll acknowledge that. But then they say, oh, no, it's a gold standard because of the machines worked. And it's what we've said all along. You know what? Maybe the machines
and
worked.
Wayne Williams, who will tell you that the machines are great.
Right. Who brought them in. But the bigger problem I think we face as Republicans is the ballots that get to the machines. Where do those ballots come from? Right. We've said before.
Well, yesterday we were with a group of people. And one of the women was a poll watcher in a small, highly Republican precinct in which a whole group of six or seven people were all Antifa with the Antifa boots and the black hoodies and so forth, went into all the polling places. Voting places and just wouldn't leave there for a couple hours. Now, that's an enormous amount of organization it takes.
Let's go over that again because that's important. This was a minor, small precinct. Right. So this is like,
I think all precincts are the same, but yeah.
But some precincts, like at, you know, the Denver Public Library might get some more people. Okay. This was just your run of the mill precinct. This wasn't.
Right.
And so the Democrats were organized enough. I mean, they clearly sent these people in there to, and that what they did is, you know, they took literally a couple of hours to fill out their ballot. I mean, and the whole point was to be there to make the other people leave, right? Because they knew how they were voting and they weren't sure how the other people were voting. And so they made the other people leave. Now that, and like you said, they're getting paid. I guarantee you, you don't have these people being that motivated to go sit there.
Right.
And so for the Democrats to be organized enough,
that organized,
right,
yes,
and motivated to send people to various precincts to take their time to create this log jam so that other people couldn't vote. And it's very clever because if you tell them to hurry up, well, then you can't, right? That's illegal. That's voter suppression. But then as we found out, they don't want Republicans at polling places because they don't want people seeing anything like that.
Adams, this is from Ben. Adams County, low propensity voters don't go to elections or participate in elections. Participation rate in 2020 was 53%. Well, that's the highest ever. Why was that?
Just because they hate Trump?
No.
I don't think so. So again, so they're stealing us, our country, on a number of levels. They're stealing it in the election. I think they're stealing it. And I, maybe you don't agree with me, Chuck, but I think that this attempt to destroy families, that this attempt, the toxic masculinity, and you notice how hypocritical they are there. It's okay, you know, for Andrew Cuomo.
Oh,
right,
sure,
that we don't even want to cover that, right?
No.
But if it's Brett Kavanaugh, it doesn't even have to be true. We're going to report it and destroy his life and make so he can't coach basketball. But they do want to take away the family. They want to take away, I believe, our ability to meet in restaurants and get together.
Well, they're just a communist state, but they say we got to need better messaging. I mean, how bad can the messaging be that it's got to be better than that? Here's the real problem in Colorado. Grassroots, Trump, everyday Coloradans, we face the Democratic Party and about 15% of the Republican Party. And that 15% includes Dick Wadhams. It includes all of the consultants. It includes most of the money guys in Colorado who contribute to campaigns. Well, that 15% has had the party chair for the entire 21st century. Almost all the candidates, not all, but virtually all, have been from that 15%. Everything comes from that 15%. And we're told we can never win unless we accede to that 15% and unite around the 15%. And, you know, I got Lois Landgraf send me an email saying, hooray, we're starting a new program called Accelerate for the Future, in which we'll train people in the values that we all share, like climate change.
I mean, unlike, you know, Casper Stockham, who, you know, God bless him, is actually training people on how to be candidates, right?
Right.
He's been through the process. I mean, some of those others, they just want you to give them their money. Don't give them their money. You know,
I don't believe that's. That's true. I believe they really do want to run squishes.
Well, they want power. Yes, they want power. Yes. One of the other things, though, that I did find kind of interesting in the back to the Magellan Strategy Survey, and, you know, I don't know if this holds true in other states or it was just in Colorado, but I get the sense it holds true in other states that there was pretty widespread, well, sort of 50-50 support, a little bit more than 50. Most people supported and thought that the government, Jared Polis, both on their county, let's see, he said federal, state, and county local levels felt the government was doing a good job handling coronavirus.
Right.
Now, that alarms me. Any Republican who thinks Jared Polis, first of all, Jared Polis hasn't done anything to handle coronavirus except shut down the economy and destroy it.
Right.
Number one,
right.
We got to remember that. Jared Polis didn't get us ventilators. Jared Polis didn't get us whatever nursing homes he created.
Nebraska's open. Wyoming's open.
Florida's open.
Not.
Yeah. I mean, Jared Polis didn't do anything. The vaccine that's coming in, Joe Biden created it. Not. It was there under Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump was distributing it. So why anyone is giving Jared Polis any credit for anything, frankly, is beyond me.
It's shocking.
Why anyone is giving, this is how stupid Denver is, and they deserve it in Denver. So Denver was on the verge of going blue, right? Because they just made this up. Keep in mind, this is not a law. It's not something that's been debated. They just made up that they have to go a certain number of days, 7 days, with coronavirus cases being below a certain number. Keeping in mind that they make up the cases, right? Everything is a coronavirus case, because that's why there've been like literally three cases of the flu in Colorado this year, which is bizarre. But anyway, Denver, so if that happened, Denver restaurants could open up back to a place where they could make money again, right? And they could have people in and people could go and enjoy themselves. They miss it by one day. So boom, back to the drawing board. Denver isn't opening anymore. I mean, that's how stupid your local governments and your local health.
Get sick of that.
Well,
one of the majority of people going, this is BS. We're not taking it anymore, but we keep on taking it. If you believe Magellan strategies, then there's no reason not to. The majority of people think this is great. You know, just shutting down the economy for a non-existent deal.
Well, that ties into my point about them destroying families. I think there isn't people sort of this inherent sense of trusting the government, that they're here to help you and they have your best interest at heart.
They are insane.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's just an easy step to say, well, you know, these parents are being mean to their three-year-old. Their three-year-old identifies, he's not a boy, he's a little girl.
In California, there are no schools, you know, more than 50% of schools are totally closed. People are losing out, not on their junior year, but their senior year. Does anybody ever kind of go, this is BS?
Well, and just say not going to do it. In fact, I was talking with a friend this morning who has a 16-month-old and was saying that the 16-month-old, now, you know, at 16 months, are starting to get way more social and things like that.
Yeah, we're ready for a gender change.
Terrified of adults because the only adults this kid has ever seen is the little girls in daycare have masks on, right? Can't relate to the other kids, doesn't know how to, I mean, she said all the parents are talking about it. And she was saying, I really worry what kind of long-term impacts this might have on her development. I mean, if we don't quit doing this pretty soon, but here's my thing, we just have to stop. We just have to continue to say, not true. It's not true. It's not true. Every time they say, you know, Colorado is a gold standard election, we need to say it's not true. So,
well, we've got to fight the 15%, because if the 15% control the Republican Party, it will never win another election. And they say, oh, we identify with the unaffiliated.
We self-identify.
Yeah, self-identify with the affiliates.
We self-identify as squishes.
Yeah.
We need to say no.
No.
Hey,
no,
guys,
no.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Next week, we're going to have Mark Poff on. I love Mark Poff. He's a former El Paso County sheriff investigator talking about, once again, don't believe it. It's like the Democrats are totally baffled by this massive increase in crime. And it's like, could the criminal justice reform, i.e. letting people out on bail without anything, does that have anything to do with it? Oh, no, no. So we're going to have Mark Poff on to explain what's going on with that.
That'd be great.
Want to let you know you can catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. We would love to have you go to YouTube or Podbean, like us, subscribe to us. That helps us out quite a bit, really. Love to have you do that. Also, go to chuckandjulie.com. You can sign up for a newsletter. I managed to send my second one out. We just link it to the show. We don't spam you. And then a few of the news articles that Chuck particularly likes during the day. And we're going to try to give you ones that aren't the ones you're like, already read it. We'll try to find some you can't. So in the meantime, though, on this Party All Friday, right. If everyone wants to raise your glass, keep in mind, we're going to be like DeSantis. We're going to not back down. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.